It's Sal Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
On WGR.
All right, Sal Capaccio joining us in a moment. Jeremy and Joe, good morning. Happy Friday. Beautiful day. Beautiful couple days on the forecast, in the forecast ahead of us. Mailman boat jumping is the current category and event in ESPN's The Ocho.
I'm enjoying this a lot. So far, we've had high lie. We had Swiss stone throwing.
Yeah.
And now mailman. So this looks like.
I would want to do this. This is an event I would want to do.
She's on like one of those river cruise boats, and the boat doesn't stop. It keeps going. She jumps off onto a dock with an envelope. Puts the envelope in a mailbox, yep. And then has to jump back on the boat before it's gone.
That sounds like fun. It looks like fun. The question is, how are you the best at it?
Well, they're timing it.
Oh, okay. It's a boat driver and a mailman?
No, I think they're only clocking how long she's on the dock.
Oh.
So, like, this time right now that she's on the boat doesn't count. But if she spends 5 seconds on the dock and, you know, I do it and I spend 3 seconds on the dock, then I'm in the lead.
The real question
I
is,
think that's how it works.
Do they have RFID chips in the mail?
And you know this has replay review.
Of course. Sal Capaccio on the Western Hotline. Good morning, Sal.
Good morning. I have no idea what I just walked into.
Yeah, you walked into
ESPN the Ocho Day.
I'm waiting for Slippery Stairs. Slippery Stairs is an event that's coming up, and I've not yet seen it today, but I'm ready to watch some Slippery Stairs, which is exactly what it sounds like. It's people climbing up slippery stairs. So, anyway.
That sounds dangerous.
Yeah, the Battle of the Blue and Red tonight, Sal.
Yeah.
Catch the fever, right? Catch the vibe. For people that maybe haven't been to this before, or maybe you kind of forget, it is, of course, not a scrimmage, right? It's not a game. It's not a scrimmage. It's just practice in Buffalo. Have you noticed anything that is really different about it than the practices at St. John Fisher?
Well, over the years, it's changed. So, yes. And it depends on, and I would guess how they'll do it tonight. So, there used to be where it would really be a scrimmage. And you would, like, I think one year there was actually a, like, point system between the offense and defense. You know what I mean? Like, if the defense made an interception, they would get 4 points or 6 points. And, you know, if the offense scored a touchdown, they'd have 6 points, right? So I think if I remember that, in fact, one year, didn't they even divide teams up one time? Do you guys remember that? I think divided teams up. Like, there was quarterbacks from one team, quarterback for another team. That, like, you might have Mike White quarterbacking one team, Josh Allen quarterbacking another team, if I remember that. I think if I go back long enough, they've done that. Because they've been doing this for quite a while now. Over the years, though, it's kind of morphed and changed. It's not a scrimmage. It's a practice. It's a practice just like you get at St. John Fisher. However, I do think in this setting, you get a little bit more of a live period sometimes. And that's changed. Sometimes it's more of a live period. Sometimes there's less of a live period. I think that depends on the injury situation, who's available to you, what their schedule is coming up, and how much they want to put on guys. And when I say live, they're not tackling to the ground. It's up thud, right? It's you grab up, just like practice. You up, it's bam, and then the whistle blows. But you get more of a first down, second down, a true football feel in that regard. So I think it just kind of depends. And honestly, I think early on in Sean McDermott's tenure, he did a little bit more of that because he needed guys to get acclimated. He had a young team. He wanted to get like used to more of a football game feel. You don't need that anymore necessarily with these guys, with the team we have now. Now it's just, excuse me. Now you have a regular practice and you can just incorporate, you know, different kinds of periods. And if you want to go live, that's fine. But I wouldn't be surprised to see red zone and third down periods, just like we do at normal practices now.
Think we're going to get a crazy Josh Allen helmet tonight?
You're the second person to ask me that today. WBN just asked me that same thing a little while ago. I was on with them, and I said, I wouldn't be surprised. What would it be, though? I mean, if it's red, we already know they're going to wear red this year for a helmet.
Right.
He's done that. Didn't he do the blue last year? Was it blue last year?
It was a blue helmet last year, yeah.
And then, I mean, could he unveil the Nike rivalry thing? I don't think that's the case. I don't think they're doing that until what, August 28th or something?
Yeah,
was it,
that's right.
The day?
Yeah.
And then, but it could be something wacky. Sure. I wouldn't totally doubt it.
All right. And they'll usually wear the red uniforms. Are like quarterback, obviously the same as normal practice, like completely off limits.
Yeah, so going back to what I said a little while ago, which is, if you remember, I'm pretty sure one year, if I remember right, there was a blue team and a white team.
Right.
You know, like they did that. But yeah, I think what tonight would be more of just a regular type of practice. They're just doing it here in front of their fans.
Sal Capaccio joining us on the Western Hotline. Sal, there was a camp, of course, yesterday. So we're just kind of recapping what happened yesterday.
Yeah.
Alec Anderson, maybe a week-to-week kind of scenario. He had a knee procedure. Cole Bishop missed a practice with a quad. But past those two, we had some names coming back, which was good news.
Yeah, for sure. You're right about Alec Anderson. The team is considering him week to week after having his knee scoped. So, you know, you hope that he can get back on the field as soon as possible. He's a really vital part, I think, to what they do along their line. He's so versatile. He can play every position. And especially, let's remember, we talked about yesterday, Cedric Van Pran Granger has been out, right? And he has been doing stuff off to the sides, guys, by the way. A couple of media members noted that to me after hearing me with you guys, you know, that he's been out there because I hadn't noticed him necessarily, but he has been with trainers, so I appreciate that. You know, we'll see when they get him back. He's the only guy really on a list right now, Cedric Van Pran Granger. He is still on the PUP list, but yesterday, good news, Spencer Brown was activated off the PUP list. He had not practiced yet. He's been doing work to the side with trainers. Who knows? I don't know if they would put him right out there today, tonight. Maybe that's not until, you know, they'll go back to practice on Sunday. We'll see. So that was one notable name. And then the other ones who came back to the field, tight end Dawson Knox saw his first action of the year after missing the first week of the hamstring injury. And Tyrell Shavers back after that scary ankle injury we saw last Sunday. I mean, for Tyrell Shavers to come back within a week after the way that thing looked, that's really, really great news, right? I mean, it did look like it was significant. Elijah Moore also back on the field. He had some general soreness. He was out. And then, yeah, you're right about Cole Bishop. So Cole Bishop missed because of the quad injury. He was on the field with his teammates. He had his leg wrapped. So, you know, you hope that that's just something that lingers for a few days, and then he's back on the field, and, you know, you could start to get him back.
How concerning do you think that is for Bishop? Maybe I don't know how severe the injury actually is, but this is a player, Sal, that there's already a question mark about how healthy or how injury prone maybe he might be. And I'm sure the Bills don't want to start another trend here of injuries with a player that's already got a bit of an injury history.
Yeah, injury prone is a interesting term. I don't love using it. I think that there's guys who sometimes are a little bit unlucky. There's sometimes guys whose bodies can be, though, Joe, you're right, susceptible a little bit. And I think in this case, you're talking about a guy last year, he had the injury, remember, because he fell down on his shoulder on a football play, right? And he had a shoulder injury. And then this year, he has the quad. And I think that's because there was a collision he was involved in with the quad injury. But that being said, I do think you have to think about how here is a guy that is his body, the rigors of the NFL with his body and the way he plays, right? And like, is he more susceptible to some injuries maybe than other people because of his size and the way he plays and being physical and being able to be down in the box? Is that a concern for the Bills? I think it's something they have to think about. I wouldn't put it at a concern right now. I mean, it's his second year. You guys remember, it's a great example. And, you know, it was brought up to Bobby Babich yesterday and then Bulldog talked about it. You guys remember Terrell Bernard missed like all of his second year training camp?
Yeah.
And it was like, was it first year? Maybe it was, or second year. And we were like, and maybe, oh, this guy can't take over for Tremaine Edmonds. Look at his size and he's hurt. And look at Terrell Bernard right now. So I think it'd be a little too premature to put those labels on Cole Bishop, to be honest. And I think that the team knows that and understands that. But I would say this, Joe, that when you miss all of camp one year, pretty much, except for a couple of weeks, and it puts you so far behind, and then you're already kind of missing days now, you need a guy, you need somebody, you need to know that he's going to be able to get in and be available and that he's comfortable in the system because he didn't have all that time on task last year. Those were valuable reps, and when a young player misses reps early, it's exponential because they don't get time to make them back during the season. There's not like regular practices. You're preparing for a game. You're not just going and putting him out there while you're game planning because he's not starting. So I do think it's something you have to think about here, but I think we're still a ways from that type of concern, and you know, hopefully Cole Bishop can come back soon. I do think it's something to monitor, though.
Sal Capaccio joining us on the Western Hotline as we chat about the return of the Blue and Red. They'll be at Highmark Stadium tonight for a practice and then back to St. John Fisher for one more week of work before the preseason begins. Hall of Fame game was last night. Sal, looking at like the rookie class, you know, Hairston got a lot of attention this week because of the injury, and now we kind of wait for him. Let's talk about the defensive linemen. The next three picks in the draft are defensive linemen. TJ Sanders, Deion Walker, Landon Jackson. Two tackles and the edge, of course, right, with Landon Jackson. What have you seen early? What's the general take on how they're kind of adjusting and whether or not they're flashing here at training camp?
So the word is that Bobby Babbage used consistency. That's what you need to see from these guys. He was especially referring to, specifically when asked about it, TJ Sanders. Not that he wasn't like unprompted, TJ's got to get more consistent, but someone asked him about him. And he said, you know, consistency is it. Like, you know it, you see it, you see the flashes, but you got to make sure that you're doing it on a down in, down out basis every single day. And I think that's got to be the same with a lot of these guys, right? You know, there's a numbers game here with all of this. And how many reps can you get? I mean, you think about it. Let's just think about the interior guys. Ed Oliver, Daquan Jones, Dwayne Carter. You do have Larry Ogunjobi in there who's going to be suspended. Then TJ Sanders and Deion Walker. Now, it took me four names just to get to them at 5 and 6. That's playing on the third team if you go that way, right? So you mix them in with the second team. And do they do rotate? It's not like they're only on the third team. My point is, like, it's tough to get reps, guys. Like, people have to get ready for the season. And, you know, you got to put these guys in the field. They got to get reps. But it's hard to do when you have a limited number of time and you have a lot of players. And that's the balance the Bills have. Deion Walker is just a really big human being, and he moves really fast for a really big human being, right? And I think that's been the most impressive part of him. We have to see these guys perform in preseason games. We have to see these guys perform when everything is live. We have to see what they can do when it comes to understanding the defense, where to line up, holding up their gap, penetrating, all those kinds of things. You know, I think that remember Ed Oliver early in his career when he made flash plays, but one of the things about him was, hey, you can't just be trying to penetrate all the time when sometimes that's not your job. Sometimes you have to make sure that you do your job for the linebackers to be able to make their plays, right? Those are things that I think you got to look for with these guys too. Are they doing everything they're supposed to be doing? It's not just you can make a flash play, but if you did it wrong and you didn't do everything according to the defense, that's not good process, and that's not going to result in what you want.
And that's
when it comes to Landon Jackson. Yeah, when it comes to Landon Jackson, same thing, which is, okay, you got Greg Rousseau, Joey Bosa, AJ Epenesa, Michael Hoyt, Javon Solomon. I just read five names before I get to Landon Jackson. Right. I mean, it's just so hard right now to get reps, guys.
Yeah. I was going to say, Sal, not just as a rookie, but, I mean, that happened to Ed Oliver this year in Baltimore.
Yeah.
Right? Like,
that's right.
It's a constant thing you learn where they set out kind of to trap him, and Derrick Henry went for 85 yards. So, you know, it's constant.
It's a great point. I mean, the defense does work as, you know, I know that Sean McDermott, do your 111th, right? I mean, defense is just like offense in that regard. Offense, everybody, there's a system, the O-line, everybody, there's double teams. You got to know that. Defense is the same way. I mean, you can get away with it a little bit more on defense if you miss something because you can just kind of fly to the football. But defensive football is a system, and everybody has to kind of know their role in that system.
Do you think with Jackson, Sal, like, there's obviously no question he's a third-round pick that he would make the roster or not. But when Hoyt is suspended, do you feel like he's almost in a battle with Javon Solomon for, I don't know how many defensive ends they would normally make active on game day, but a battle for snaps, a battle to be kind of that fourth guy in the rotation that is getting a shot to fill in while the veteran's out?
Yes. I think that if you look at it right now, Joe, let's just project who's going to make the team. First of all, I think the first thing you have to ask yourself is there anyone outside of Michael Hoyt who won't be playing, obviously? Is there anyone who is in danger of maybe not even being on the team? Well, obviously, it's not Greg Rousseau. Obviously, it's not Joey Bosa. Is AJ Epenesa in that group? Is Javon Solomon in that group? And I would say Javon Solomon's had a nice, sneaky, nice camp here, by the way, and he's only in his second year. And I think that he offers something that they can use on third down. And I'm not predicting that AJ Epenesa isn't on the Bills. What I am saying, though, is if there's an odd man out, maybe he would be the guy, right? The Bills have spun guys at the end of camp with trades. And however, they're going to need these guys with Michael Hoyt out. And, you know, injuries do happen with guys. So then you get down to Landon Jackson. I could absolutely see, Joe, week one against the Baltimore Ravens, Landon Jackson is on the roster, obviously, but he's not a game day active.
Okay. And with Epinesa, like maybe that's part of the like if Solomon is looking good and Jackson starts to trend up and it looks like he's somebody they could at least count on for a role. The thing with Epinesa is if you cut him, you don't save anything. If you trade him, you save $6 million on your cap. And
right.
The Bills are up against it. So you're right. Like that's in that position they've actually dealt guys. Like it was Bam Johnson. Bam Johnson was one. Mm-hmm. So you would have to have a team that would obviously be interested in Epinesa.
And Boogie Basham, too.
And Boogie Basham, right.
So, I mean, they care. I mean, it's really been guys like, I mean, I guess, you know, over the years, Brandon Bean's kind of made some trades for everybody, really. Or with everybody, every position, whether, you know, I mean, offensive linemen, you know, a couple guys over the years, Ryan Bates. I can't remember the guy they traded to New England the 1 year, right? I mean, like...
Oh, the center. He was a center. Yeah. Bodine?
Was it? Yeah, Bodine. I love it, Joe. Great
what a Bodine. Russell that's Bodine? Jerry Bodine?
I didn't want to say the first name.
Or is that a NASCAR driver? I'm mixing up my Bodines.
I'm not sure.
I think you are, but that's okay. I like it. I couldn't remember his name. I mean, I think at the end of the day, it's a good problem, right? I mean, you have a roster where if you could trade guys off your roster that you're going to cut to teams that are taking them, what does that say? It means that you have depth. It means you have good roster. I mean, at least in those positions. And I think the Bills do. I think the Bills have a good roster. We get one of the things that I always try to, you know, kind of implore to fans and talk about and say, and it's a good reminder a lot. Like today, this is a good reminder to say it again. You can't get caught up in just fixating on the Bills roster. Look around the league. Like, go take the Jets roster, the Patriots roster, even really good teams, you know, the Ravens roster, the Chiefs roster. Like, look at the back ends of these rosters. And, like, the Bills compare with anybody in the league. They do. It's not just about – people can look and go, well, this guy stinks at the back end of the roster. Yeah. Guess what? I mean, you could say that all you want. He's just as good as all those other guys at the back end of the other roster, maybe even better than what those other teams have. You know, you can't get caught up in just watching your team. And all the time and thinking that like everybody is like that. They're not. The job is to not only have the best players at the top that can perform, but also have players that can fill in, you know, as the season goes on. And every team is looking for, I think DeMar Hamlin's like a great example of this a lot of times. DeMar Hamlin, you know, he's a guy that, you know, you can have on this roster. He started on a team for the most part, that went to an AFC championship game. Is he the best safety? No. Could you be better than that? Yes. But there's a lot of teams that would take a guy like a DeMar Hamlin on their team. Because guess what? If you don't have him, you're probably signing a guy just like him, to be quite honest.
Sal, you wrote about at the website the middle linebacker battle, the depth linebacker position battle, Andreessen, Baylen Specter. Fans obviously interested in Andreessen. What have you seen at that position lately?
Yeah, it's really interesting. I do think there's a battle going on. I think Andreessen and Specter involved in a fight here for the backup middle linebacker spot, and we've seen both them perform with Terrell Bernard out. They're both getting starting snaps now with Terrell Bernard out next to Matt Milano. And I listen, you know, Joe, we've talked about this. I have been, hey, Joe Andreessen all the way for a couple months because of Baylen Specter's lack of availability and because Andreessen played well when he had his opportunity. I'm not moving off that, but I will say the longer Baylen Specter stays healthy, the more he makes this a fight. Because the Bills like Baylen Specter and what he brings, especially against the run. And he's smart, and he has position flexibility, mainly. I mean, he mainly plays Mike, but he can play a little bit of Will. So, I don't know. Is there a spot for both of them on the team? I'm not really sure. I like the way this is shaping up, though. I love the play that Joe Andreessen made yesterday, though. I wrote about it. It was a red zone 11-on-11. Josh Allen looked out to the flat. He had Ty Johnson Andreessen just dissected it. And he started making a beeline to Ty Johnson. I mean, he's a good 10 yards away. Ty's in the flat. Andreessen's in the middle, kind of. But Josh saw him. Like, Josh saw Andreessen start moving. So he moved off Ty Johnson. He's like, I'm not throwing it there. He comes back to the middle of the field to hit Dalton Kincaid. And by the time that happened, the timing was off. Joe Andreessen made that play. He made that incompletion happen, even though he wasn't near the ball. Like, those are things I love to see. You know, but Baylen Specter, when you go run periods, you notice him because he's good against the run, and that's what he does. I think it's a good fight.
Sal, how's tonight work? 5:30 start. Bulldog's going to be on. You're going to be checking in from the blue and red?
Yeah. No. Here, I'm on with Bulldog 3 to 5 today.
Okay.
I'm hosting and with then, Bulldog 3 to 5. I'll be down at the stadium. I'll be covering the practice, which starts at 5, actually.
Okay, gotcha.
From what I at 5 o'clock. So, I mean, they don't start until 5:30, but at 5 o'clock is what we're told the practice is starting. We're actually, I'll be on the field. We're actually doing, you will not hear us, but Chris Brown and me, and Eric's not in town right now to do it, but we're going to do a mock broadcast. Like, I'll be on the sidelines pretending to broadcast a game. Nobody will hear it on the radio. It's just like closed circuit radio, if you will. It's our practice broadcast each year.
Gotcha. All right. Very good. Well, Sal, enjoy it. Looks like a beautiful night. And, you know, hopefully fans get a good look at the upcoming season and some of these.
I got to ask you guys before I go. I did not watch. I watched like very like I watched the last 5 minutes of the game last night.
I watched a lot of it.
Okay. What was the what was it like with the new, no chains? There's no more chain.
Right. The chain gang is still there. They just
run out of the field.
They don't do anything.
No,
they don't even call it chain gang. They can't be a chain gang now. There's literally no chains.
I think there are in the
It's a marker.
Okay.
Yeah. Do they have them still as
See,
the backup?
See, this is the issue. Here's why I'm sorry. I wish we had more time for this. I wanted to bring this up.
No, you're good.
Yesterday we heard from referee Sean Smith, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And Sean Smith said to us, because that's what I wanted to see. He said that, yes, everything is measured electronically. It's still spotted by the referee, but measured electronically. But he also said, even though you have the two down markers 10 yards apart, they will not be hooked up with a chain.
Okay.
All right.
I didn't know. All I saw was that, like, when it was time to measure, they called for the graphic, and then you saw it, like, zoom in on it, and there was the ball in the yellow line, and then they just determined, like, it was short.
We talked about it at length, Sal. My problem with it remains that it's almost as if the NFL wants to fool people and wants to kind of pretend it is something it is not. And Chris Collinsworth on the broadcast said it's kind of like tennis, and it's not like tennis because in tennis there's not a person that spots the ball.
No, that is
and
correct.
I saw Albert Breer tweet the same thing. It's kind of like tennis. It is not. So they now digitally measure a ball, which was never the problem. It looks like it's better tech, and I don't think it ultimately changes a thing. So it's a little faster,
right.
I guess, but in reality, we're still going to be mad about the spot.
I know that. And when I tweeted yesterday about what Sean Smith said, that's what everyone talked about, the spot. That's fine. I'm focused on what these chains, the chain is gone. So you're literally telling people you're putting one chain down, you're putting one marker down, excuse me, at whatever yard line. The person 10 yards away can't pull the chain. Okay? They're just putting the marker down.
Yeah.
Does that make sense what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And it feels weird.
Yeah, I don't know how do they know where to put it down?
Okay, so, and I think the answer is Carl Jones said this to me, and I'm like, you're right, Carl. That's right. I think this is right. Do you remember a couple years ago the NFL said they're no longer going to use half yards? Like, they're just going to place the ball on the yard line, right? Like, if you get to the 31 and a half, they're putting it at the 31 or the 32, I guess. That's what they do now. So I think that's how they do it. So if the ball gets placed at 31, the person on the other end is just putting it at the 41. But there's literally no chain, according to Sean Smith, to yank and pull and put down.
So are we rounding up to the nearest yard line on every downed play now?
That's what they've done for the last couple of years now, basically, yeah.
Okay.
All right.
If you watch a game now, not only on, I think
first
it's only
down.
On first downs,
on
though,
first
by
downs,
the way.
Right.
Only on first downs,
right.
Yes. Yeah. They spot it normally after every play. So if you get a first down in a game, let's just in the middle of the field, you get a first down. Watch a football game now, NFL game. In the last couple of years, they've done this. You get a first down. The ball starts always like right at the down, at a yard line. It's not in between 2 yard lines, hash marks.
Gotcha. All right. Thanks.
That's the issue that I was wondering about yesterday, if you saw. And I need to watch this because it's called the chain gang and the chain crew. And there's really no more chain gang anymore, even though they say the people are there. It's just marker crew now.
Yeah, marker crew. The marker crew. Thanks, Sal.
You got it.
Sal Capaccio on the Wester Hotline. Hey, it's technically kind of part of training camp, what's happening today, right? It's training camp. And coverage of Bills training camp is brought to you by Fiegel, Carr, and Joyce, your border attorneys, by Outlet Liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet? By Connors and Ferris, your workers' comp attorneys. And driven by your Upstate Honda dealers for great deals on the entire Honda lineup. Visit your Upstate Honda dealer today.
The Bills website lists it at, if you're wondering like when everything opens, parking lots open at 3, gates open at 4, and practice actually starts, like the team actually like doing things at 5:30 is what the website lists at. So
if you are gonna 2.5 hour tailgate a practice, you should get something. The Bills should be handing out,
yeah,
you know, patches for your jacket.
I mean, listen, it's going to be 74 and sunny today, and it's a Friday.
It's
like,
going to be nice.
I can think of worse things to do than... Hey, if it's preseason for everybody, it's preseason for the tailgaters also.
Right. You got to get out there and
practice.
Make sure that mini grill fires up on
that's
the first
right.
one. You got to, yeah. Yep. Yep, that's right. All right, 803-0550, if you want to throw something our way, we're more than happy to take your call on, you know, really anything. It's a Friday. Jeremy and Joe, Joe says he's got some trivia for
I've
me.
I've got some quarterback trivia
I've
for
only
you.
Got to one of the things I was going to complain about so far about football. Football's back, which means, you know, we complain about football. And something happened last night, not the chain gang thing. I already went in on that. But Collinsworth, he got me. He got me on something. It always happens. So I'll tell you what that was coming up here on WGR.
Back with us to start our season. We are so thrilled for Rob and Lindsay. That pass is taken away. Spectacular takeaway by Miles Purchase on the intended catch for Dominic Leavitt.
Miles Purchase with an interception for the Chargers.
Uh-huh.
And what happened there is the ball gets thrown. It's kind of in the arms of the receiver, and Purchase kind of comes away with it and starts to return it up the field.
Okay.
Again, I was one of the seven people awake watching the second half of this game. And I said earlier today, I was assembling table and chairs, like children's table and chairs. So I was awake. And Collinsworth on that play did something that he occasionally does, which is, I'll just call it endearing. How about that? Instead of being a hater.
Mm-hmm.
He said, I've never seen anything like that before. Which, of course...
He definitely has.
You definitely have seen that before.
He definitely has seen that
And before. I was immediately transported to last year. I believe it was the opener last year, which was Chiefs-Ravens.
Yeah.
And Lamar, on a keeper, cut to his left.
Mm-hmm.
And Collinsworth dropped. It's early in the season. Maybe he just, like, forgets football, and he's brand new. He's like, let's look at this game. Lamar made that move last year, and Collinsworth said, how does he do that? I've never seen anyone do that. And just... juked left.
Uh-huh.
And last night, it's a play he's never seen before, which you've all seen this play. It's a nice play by this Miles Purchase character.
Yeah.
Anyway, welcome back to football. Welcome back, football.
We're complaining about Collinsworth.
Listen.
Collinsworth, you know, like, listen, he's just a happy person.
Football.
He's just always excited about about everything.
He is. And
he's always smiling. He's always happy.
Football exists to give us something to both love and complain about. That's why we love it.
Is he not he's not the worst color. He's not the most complained about color commentator, because that would be Tom Brady, I think. Right? Ooh. I feel like Romo gets more complaints now than Collinsworth does.
I think Collinsworth might be the most complained about.
Really?
Yeah.
More than Romo? Romo is imitated a lot now.
Right. Romo is
Jim!
Sometimes unintelligible, just screaming, shouting. Whereas
right.
Collinsworth says things like, you know, Caleb Williams could learn a thing or two from Tyson Bagent. And this guy reminds me of a young Mahomes.
Right. Like the Collinsworth thing is more about everything is he loves Mahomes.
Yes.
It all comes back to that. Romo, it's more he's not even really trying. He's just showing up and screaming.
Yeah.
Which I think is probably worse. And then Brady, it's just he's bad at it. And nobody wants him there.
He got better, I think, didn't he?
I mean.
Didn't he get better?
He got better from, he was so bad at the beginning. Like, even just with the mechanics of, he would talk through plays, and it couldn't have got worse.
No.
I didn't notice him being terrible in the Super Bowl. There you go.
803-0550 if you want to give us a ring. I'm going to give you one name to watch, by the way, here at the Blue and Red tonight. If you're going to the game, or whatever, the practice.
Mm-hmm.
I'll give you a name to watch. I need a new player to be a truther on. So here it comes.
Because you've lost the Tyrell Shavers truther status, I guess.
Well, people seem to like Shavers.
Everyone likes Shavers.
Yeah, I've liked him for a couple of years now. And he was out with the ankle injury. He had a nice camp last year. I don't know if there's ever a spot for him. So Shavers is Shavers is well known. So here's your next name. Your next...
Mm-hmm.
Shocker, it's a wide receiver. but...
Is this your Andy Isabella?
Maybe.
That was my guy. He never got going.
Christian Wilkerson. Every couple minutes, I'm looking up at camp when I'm there. And who's that? It was Christian Wilkerson. with a nice catch. All right.
Okay.
Who is this Christian Wilkerson character? And turns out he's been in the league. He's played a couple games. He was with the Raiders. He's with the Patriots. He had a 2-year gap in there, and he's hanging out with the Bills, making plays in training camp.
Uh-huh.
He's played in 6 games, and like let's just consider something. Is Christian Wilkerson secretly a gamer? He's played 6 games. He has 3 touchdowns.
In the NFL?
Yeah.
Yeah. He's 28 years old.
4 for 42 and 2 touchdowns with the Patriots, and then 2 for 18 and a touchdown with the Raiders.
Mm-hmm.
Just, you know, while these receiver injuries have piled up, Samuel hurt, Moore just getting back, and Shaver's going out for a little bit, and Bills got probably a little bit of an extended look at some of the depth guys, and I think Wilkerson has been all right.
Can I ask, I want to make sure, you're not doubling things he's doing because he wears 82 and there's also a 32 Deion Kane.
No, that's
been making some catches.
It's definitely Wilkerson. Yeah.
Because it would be easy to confuse 32 and 82, I think.
I have seen him, yeah.
Okay.
Backing this up, just seeing here, Joe B. has Wilkerson as one of his under-the-radar players.
I'm looking up right now because he's 28.
Yeah,
has he been a UFL guy, maybe? There's no reference of UFL or anything on Wikipedia, so maybe not.
But he's out of the league for 2 years, then with the Raiders, and now he's hanging out with the Bills. So keep an eye on number 82.
All right.
All-time greatest Bill to wear number 82 is?
Josh Reed. No, that can't be right. Or maybe.
I mean, Don Beebe? He's
82,
right?
Don Beebe's got to be ahead of Josh Reed, I would think. More recently? I mean, receivers don't wear 82 anymore. It's not even a great tight end number, right?
No, it's kind of a lost number.
82? I don't even know. Who's the best 82 in the league right now?
The best 82 in the league.
Has there ever been a great 82? Maybe there's never been a great 82 anywhere.
Well, here comes Christian Wilkerson to take it.
Hmm. Yeah, I don't know. I don't have a immediate guy that comes to mind for that. He's not going to make the team, though.
No, probably not.
Best case scenario is he's practice squad, and maybe he's a special teamer, and maybe he gets a catch or two at some point in the season.
Butch on the east side. Hey, Butch, what's up?
Hey, my guys. Thanks for taking my call. I love MSG, love WGR. To the fans who listen and watch, I definitely love each and every one of you. I'm going to get right to it, but before I get there, the best 82 that ever played in the Buffalo Bills, his name is Frank Lewis. Played wide receiver, played with Jerry Butler, top of the line. Don Beebe comes after him. But anyway, moving forward, I just wanted to say this is the perfect opportunity for the Buffalo Bills to solidify their football team. We have some baggage that's good talent, young talent, and we're spending money that they might not be on this team no more. We got James Cook, we got Matt Milano, we got A.J. Epineza. If I'm Brandon Bean, I'll take all 3 of those. Put a number 2 pick next year and a number 3 the following year. Send it to Dallas and get Michael Parsons over here because he's Penn State guy, Pagula guy. Bring him here, pay him, and let's move forward with it and build our defense and build our future team. Long time ago, though, thanks for taking my call, is we had a guy named Shane Cowan, again, came out of Penn State, middle linebacker. That same year, we went ahead and got a blockbuster and got Cornelius Bennett. My thing is right now we got Joey Bosa here. We got a nice young defense. The crew came in this year, added to last year. You go and get Michael Parsons. Give up an A.J. Epineza, a Matt Milano, and a James Cook. A 2 next year, 3 the following year. Get it done. Let's move forward. Go get some Super Bowls. Thanks for taking my call. I love each and every one of you, man.
Thanks, Butch. We got to get a board in here. Days since A.J. Epineza has been traded again. Reset that thing to 0. Micah Parsons.
I mean, Sal even mentioned it in the last segment a little as an idea.
Micah Parsons did say he is farther apart with the Cowboys than last week.
Did you see his tweet last night?
I did not see a tweet last night.
Someone tweeted a picture of him and Trayvon Diggs hanging out at training camp, and Parsons quote tweeted it with the meme or the gif of Will Smith and Martin Lawrence in Bad Boys when they knuckle touch and say one last time.
All right. It's a nice poll. Not bad.
Which would imply this is his last year in Dallas.
Yeah. 803-0550 and 1-888-552-550. I have the all-time player to wear number 82 in the NFL.
Someone tweeted in Jason Witten.
He's the second best. According to Pro
Football Reference's
value added.
Okay.
the number one player to ever wear the number 82.
It's better than Jason Witten.
Barely better than Jason Witten, but better. It's not John Stallworth. It's not Isaiah Newsome. Those guys were 82 as well. John Taylor with the 49ers way back when.
Okay.
Dwayne Bowe.
He had like an 18 touchdown season. Yeah, or
the correct answer is the most approximate value added from anybody ever wearing number 82 is former Jaguars wide receiver Jimmy Smith.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I remember he was good, right?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, they would say he's very good.
He and Keenan McCardell. Hey, congratulations to Brian D. from Hamburg for winning this week's Encore Golf Friday foursome. You scored an 18-hole round of golf at Diamond Hawk Golf Course. $25 Encore Golf gift card and a dozen Encore Golf balls. You can still enter the Encore Golf Friday foursome contest at WGR550.com. All right, Jeremy and Joe. Any big plans this weekend, gentlemen?
The Killers.
Owen, the Killers. Owen, what are you going to do? Celebrate the Erie Canal? What are you doing? What are you up to?
I am getting after it with the Erie Canal. I'm going to take a visit. I'm going to drive.
Yeah.
I might even get in a helicopter so I can see as much of it as possible at once. That's my plan.
Nothing wrong with celebrating the Erie Canal. What else? What else? The Killers this weekend. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
When's the next NFL preseason game? Thursday?
It's got to be at least a week. Because like the Bills don't open until...
Saturday.
Next Saturday?
Yeah, the ninth. They play the Giants.
Jackson Dart. Who I don't think is having a great camp. You know who is having a great camp, by the way? Listen, if you want to take stock in Tre'Davious White having a great camp, then you also have to give it to Dallas reporters are like fawning over how good a camp Kyrie Elam is having. Like he is intercepting Dak Prescott like twice a day.
I saw he had a pick and then he also lifted a baby into the air.
Yeah. He's going to start.
His baby or just did he pick any baby?
I think it was just a random kid. Yeah. He ran over to the sidelines where all the fans were, and he just grabbed a random child and lifted him in the air.
And then walked onto the field with the child.
Yes. I mean,
a little bit of a...
He kind
of
stole a child.
Hey, wait a minute.
As a celebration.
Next preseason game is Thursday, Colts at Ravens. And, oh wow, there's three games. Colts, Ravens, Bengals, Eagles, and Raiders, Seahawks are all coming your way on Thursday.
The Bills-Giants game is 1 o'clock on a Saturday.
All right.
NFL Network.
Not bad. I'll take that. Jeremy and Joe, 803-0550, our phone number if you want to chime in on anything. We've talked some preseason. Battle of the Blue and Red is tonight. Watch it on YouTube. Drop us a comment. We can check it on the chat. Maybe get some like a grab bag of chat comments. Like and subscribe. If you're on there, subscribe to our YouTube channel so you can see more of us because that's whatever, it's what you want. You know.
Also, when we come back, I just saw Nate Tice, who I think we've had on the show before, right? Yahoo. His top 10 offenses in the NFL.
Ooh.
Really interesting. Both where the Bills are and where the Chiefs are.
Okay. Let me see if I get how many of those teams I can get.
Yeah, don't look at it.
We've also not really talked about Terry McLaurin today. I just want to say that. We have not really done that much.
That's true.
All right, we'll get a break in. 803-0550. Drop something in the chat. We'll check in on the chat at some point in the next hour and see if we can get
playing the train horn. And we'll play the train horn at some point.
No, why? Why would you do that?
It's amazing. It is not. A star receiver's on the market. It's 9 a.m. and the train horn hasn't played yet.
On the market.
I mean, he's requested a trade. It's as on the market as you get.
Listen, we all request lots of things. He demanded a trade. No, don't play that horn.
Oh, he did it.
No. It's too soon. It's too soon. People are going to get the wrong idea. They're going to play that horn at the game tonight, right? Third down?
No.
I need the third down guy at the blue and red. It's preseason. It's warming up. Like it's third. Give me one of those at the blue and red.
Maybe they'll replace the train horn because they don't want it being confused with the wide receiver train.
I'm probably the one that should cease and desist on that, though.
If they got rid of the train horn, everyone would blame you.
No.
Yes, they would. They would blame you 100%. They scrapped it because of the wide receiver train.
That's kind of funny. All right, 803-0550 on WGR.